This is the audio interview for the Sugar Hill Historic Preservation Society with Rudy Bowen. Hey, Rudy, how are you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, sure. We are doing this today for historical purposes. Is it okay for me to record this?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we will go ahead and get started. If you don't mind, go ahead and give me your full name again.
Well, I am known as Rudy Bowen, but my real name is David Rudolph Bowen.
Okay. Okay. And where were you born at?
I was born in Crawford Long Hospital in 1939.
Okay.
And the front porch on that hospital is still there today.
Okay. All right. And who were your parents?
My parents was Ralph Bowen and Ludy Bowen.
And so were both of them from, like, Atlanta?
Yes, my mother grew up in East Atlanta and in a little place below Atlanta called Stockbridge in Henry County.
Okay.
And my father grew up in Henry County.
Okay. What about siblings? How many siblings do you have?
I have two brothers, Millard Bowen and Woody Bowen, and a sister named Carol Bowen, who lives in Maine. But my two brothers still live in, Woody lives in Dawsonville, and my brother Millard lives up at Big Canoe.
Okay. Yeah, that's a long ways for your sister to live in Maine.
Yes.
And what was her name?
I have been to see her a few times. It's a beautiful country. It reminds you of North Georgia.
Yeah, yeah. What was her name one more time?
Carol Bowen.
Carol. Okay, okay. All righty. Okay. So where did you, you grew up? Somewhere down near Crawford Long? That's where you grew up at?
I grew up in a little community, Stockbridge in McDonough. I went to grammar school in Stockbridge for a few years, and then I went to McDonough through the sixth grade. And then we moved to Dahlonega, Georgia, which is North Georgia. And I went through the 7th and the 10th grade there. And then we moved on a farm down in Dawsonville. And I graduated from Dawson County High School in 1956.
Okay. What did you do on your farm that you had?
We raised chickens. We had about 70,000 chickens and cows and a few pigs, and that's what we did on the farm primarily.
Okay.
So I learned about the hard work of farming at a very early age.
I bet you did. Okay. All right. So, tell me what brought you back to Gwinnett County.
Well, first of all, when I graduated from high school, I attended the University of Georgia for 2 quarters and joined the Army. And when I got out of the Army, I went back to Georgia for 2 quarters and then came to Atlanta and got a job working in the construction industry, primarily a laborer's job for $1 an hour.
Okay.
And I started working for an uncle of mine, and he was building houses at that time. And so from that period of time, I worked for him for several years, and then I went to work for a lumber yard called Williams Brothers. And I worked there for several years, working just whatever jobs came up. And then in 1960, they sent me up to Shamley, Georgia, to build a warehouse up there and a store, which was a satellite store. And from that period of time, I met my wife, Jean, at a doctor's office there in Shamley. She was working for a doctor.
Okay. That was 1960. And what was Jean's maiden name?
She was Jean Kirby from Dunwoody, Georgia.
Okay.
And we started dating, and we were married in June of 1962. And we moved in a little apartment over in Shamley, and in 1964, we moved to Gwinnett County, which would now be called Peachtree Corners. It was a little community, it was a little subdivision there off of Winters Chapel Road, barely in Gwinnett County at that time.
Okay.
And then that's where our first two children, my two daughters, were born, in that house we bought over there. The interesting thing is that house cost $12,500 at 1963.
Okay. And you reckon it's still there today? Or they?
It is.
Oh, is it?
Just like it was. It's still there.
Okay.
I've been by to see it.
Okay.
That was our first house.
Okay. That's pretty amazing. It'd be interesting to know what is sold over and over and over again for all these years, wouldn't it?
Yes, it'd be very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you mentioned two daughters. How many children do you have?
I have three. I have Allison, Beth, and David.
Okay. Okay. What about grandchildren?
I have eight grandchildren. They're all married. And they are, well, two of them expecting great-grandchildren.
Okay.
Of the eight, but I have a total right now of 15 great-grandchildren.
Okay. Not counting those two we're expecting, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, all right.
So that'll make 17.
Right, so you are very blessed.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, so when you moved into Gwinnett County in 1963, tell me a little bit about what that was like and what were you and your wife doing at that time?
Well, at that time, Gwinnett County was still considered somewhat rural. And if I look back, in fact, Gwinnett County's water system was not available in that particular area. It was the water that we paid was for DeKalb County. They were buying it from DeKalb. And, of course, the services in Gwinnett, unfortunately, were not available. You did not have fire departments at that time. You had a very, very limited police department at that time. And you had to really and truly go into DeKalb County to be able to find and shop in the goods that you needed at that time. And that was one of the reasons we moved in that area, because we were so accessible to DeKalb County at the time. But we did see the opportunity as time went on that Gwinnett was beginning to grow some. But it was still rural.
Right. So you continued working for the uncle in the building business?
Well, no, I was working for William's brother still at that time. And then I started, I got a job with them selling building materials to builders.
Okay.
And I called on them and was selling building materials for. And then in 1970... is when I started and decided to go in my own business as building houses.
Okay. Where did you first start building at?
My first house was built in Lockridge Forest. And I had two lots. I started with two lots there. And then I had six lots up in off of Pleasant Hill Road. And those were the two locations that I started building houses.
Okay. It being rural in 1970, what were some of your challenges at that time just getting started in the building business?
Well, of course, at that time, as you said, Gwinnett was still somewhat rural. There were certainly limitations on services. I mean, we didn't, in this particular subdivision, we didn't even have natural gas. We had to use all electric to be able to supply the needed services for the houses. So, but it was still rural, and Gwinnett, I lived, at that time, I had moved into Lock Ridge Forest. Also, and built my personal house as well as two other houses when I started. At that time, Gwinnett still did not have a fire department. The first fire department in Gwinnett County was at Norcross, and they was able to tax a militia district of which we lived in to get started for a full-time fire department, which I thought was very interesting at that time. And, of course, Gwinnett had other issues at that time is on their growth. And I don't know if you remember or not, but they had to redo their whole police department to be able to serve the community because of some unfortunate situations at the time.
Hmm.
And the, let's see, trying to remember a couple of other things. Oh, the school systems of that time, my daughter started in the first grade in Norcross High School. I mean, it's grammar school. They were building a new school at Peachtree Corners at that time called Peachtree Elementary. And the school systems were beginning to fill up, and then the needs were beginning to grow. And I got involved in that at the time of trying to be sure that Gwinnett started to move forward with their school systems. We had a new superintendent that came in that period of time, and new construction is beginning to develop in other areas as the growth started. And that's when they started basically the time frame of their, what I consider their best and great school system.
Right. Yes, I believe so, too. All right.
And
so
then,
after you moved out of Lock Ridge, where did you move to?
Okay. I moved in. I was building a lot of houses at that time around what is now Peachtree Corners back in the early, in the mid-70s, or late 70s. I built the first subdivision in Peachtree Corners in 1978 called Spalding Corners. That was the first one that was developed. Big one. And then I started, I built houses in the Peachtree World of Tennis, which was quite an interesting place. It was a tennis center totally with some residential housing. And I built a lot of those houses in there. And I also moved in one of them when I moved out of Lock Ridge Forest into Peachtree World of Tennis. In 19, lived there for several years. In 1970, eight or nine, I bought a piece of property in Sugar Hill, 65 acres, which now is called West Price Road. At that time, Peachtree Industrial was not built. So to get to the property, you had to come up Buford Highway out of Norcross and then come through Suwannee, which was quite interesting when you look at the area today.
I'm going to back up just a little bit to the Peachtree Corners with the tennis center. Was there a lot of subdivisions with amenities like that during that time in Gwinnett County?
Well, just for an example, the big Spalding Corners, which had over 100-something houses, did not have an amenity when I built it. at that time. It was not an essential part of development at that time.
Mm-hmm. You did it later on.
And later on, it became very essential as things changed over time. And I would like to back up, and if you go back to Lockridge Forest. Lockridge Forest even built a amenity. I was part of that, building a pool and tennis courts. But even back in the late 1960s,
okay.
Before I started building houses,
okay,
for myself, I went into housing, started my own company.
Okay.
But as time went on, that was an essential part of developing and selling housing in that time frame.
Okay. All right. So the 65 acres in Sugar Hill, tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I bought the property with the idea of wanting to move out of onto a piece of property with my son, and thought it'd be fun just to have a more property to work with. And I, of course, came off of a farm, and of course, I enjoyed, cows and animals and that type of thing. And so one day, my wife said she would never move up there. So one day, she called me and says, I'm ready to move to that piece of property you bought. And I said, okay. So a few months later, I started building a house on that 65 acres there on West Price Road. Built a barn first. First thing I built was a barn, and then the house. And then I fenced it in, and then we had about 30 or 40 cows on that 65 acres. Cows and calves. And I had a horse or two for the kids if they wanted to ride. And it was like country living at that time, because all the land around me at that time was available. There was no subdivisions at that time, much going on. There was later, Breedlove's built one there on West Price, I remember. But it was country living.
Okay. So that must have been a pretty big change for your family at that time to go from a subdivision to, okay, now we're doing the farm life now.
Yep, that's right. It was fun. And David fell right in. He was in the fifth grade and went to the Sugar Hill Elementary School there and started in the fifth grade. My two daughters had already graduated from North Cross High School. And it was fun farm living. And, of course, David could develop friends all around him, kids he went to school with, and they'd come visit. And they had the run of the place, just doing whatever they wanted to do primarily. There was no structure. They just went out and did it. They explored all the area around it and had a lake on it. And it was fun, enjoyable and fun living.
Okay. And so that would have been what, the late 80s when you moved to?
I moved there in 1982. I started the house in 82 and moved there in 1983.
Okay.
I bought the property in 1978.
Okay, let me go back. Okay. All right. So tell me a little bit about what was Sugar Hill like in 1982 and 1983?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, it was just a little community of people. I remember that it was a city, and they had the grammar school there. And they had the First Baptist Church was there in the community. I don't remember too much. They had one little station there, or I remember that in Sugar Hill. And a few other businesses on the highway, what is now considered Highway 20. I can remember when Sugar Hill, when there was no Highway 20. I can remember Sugar Hill when they had their own school system. Mm-hmm. Being from Dawsonville, we used to play them in basketball.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Any other stories you want to tell me about that?
Well, other than the fact we played basketball in an old gym there they had, they had a Sugar Hill High School.
Okay.
And which was, as I said, I played there, I think, two different times when I was going to high school there in Dawsonville. And also, when you think about Cumming, where Cumming is today in Highway 20, if you remember, there was the dirt roads back in when my day,
mm-hmm.
in the 50s. So I remember those periods of times, and remember when the railroad crossing there, where there was a serious accident, and it was a sad day for a wreck there happened at the railroad track, and when that's when the bridge was built right after that.
Okay. you mentioned earlier Peachtree Industrial wasn't even built, so as you decided to purchase that property in 78-79 in Sugar Hill, what do you remember about Peachtree developing and coming on up this way during that time?
Well, if you go back, Peachtree Industrial was built primarily in 19 in Sandwich, Georgia. It's where it started when they built the BOP plant there, which was known as the Buick Oldsmobile and Pontiac plant right after the war. And they built Peachtree Industrial through Shamley. And then they punched it on through over to past Winters Chapel, which was just barely in Gwinnett County at that time, right at the edge of Gwinnett in DeKalb County. And then it was a developer came along and punched it on through a little further, Paul Duke. Paul Duke was a graduate of Georgia Tech and developed a lot of Peachtree Corners. And he built the industrial first. And they punched it on up to Medlock Bridge. Not Medlock Bridge, but in Norcross there. I believe that is Medlock Bridge. I'm not
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it kind of ended, right in that area for that period of time. And then they kept pushing it a little further and a little further. Then it got to Duluth. And I remembered when it ended there at 120. In fact, my son-in-law hit that pile of dirt one night. It had a big, huge pile of dirt. And you can guess which one that one was. He hit it. And never forget that. He called me up and said, "I've hit the dirt down here, but I think I'm okay." I said, "Well, whatever you need, call me." That's about where it happened. But then after that, I had the idea, figured it would always go. The idea of it was to go all the way to Gainesville. That was some of the thoughts of punching it on through. And then next phase of it came up to Suwannee, and then it finally came on up into Sugar Hill to what is now Highway 20. And but I never thought much about it not being, developed. I didn't buy the property depending on it because I wanted to get further out.
Yeah, you wanted something more like that. But that Peachtree Industrial coming on up, the bridge being built at Highway 20, that I'm sure that changed the dynamic of the Sugar Hill area pretty quickly, right?
Well, that's true because it had a clear path you know, from, you know, to other area, to other opportunities that people could drive down Peachtree Industrial. You know, it's pretty easy to drive. And then as people were driving up in that area, they figured out and found that area. And, you know, it's kind of like any area, you know, transportation is always the main focus for people to move, you know, in another area, as long as you've got the transportation part. And Peachtree Industrial was very important for that area.
Right, definitely, definitely.
And then you look at Highway 20, and over the, you know, of course, I was on the DOT board and pushed to get the Highway 20 widened all the way to Cumming, which gave you clear paths over to 400.
Mm-hmm.
But Sugar Hill grew also from the need of, the property was not as expensive up in Sugar Hill as it was in other areas, and gave the opportunity to build up some affordable housing. Affordable housing is always important for any community, and there are always good people needing affordable housing.
Mm-hmm. So did you become a farmer for a while, or did you keep building?
Oh, no, I always kept building. But I did farm part of it with hay and cows and that type of thing, just something for a hobby. It was just a hobby thing.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about how your building and development business grew over the years.
Well, of course, when I moved up in that particular area, I was building around Norcross and developing land down Beaver Run Road and all the way through that part of the county, all the way over to Lawrenceville, and had big projects. When I was up and around Sugar Hill, I developed several projects in Sugar Hill over the years. One was, of course, over there off of, trying to remember the little subdivision there, across from Breedlove's, up from Breedlove's there.
Bent Creek?
Bent Creek was one that was very successful. It was, nice housing for affordability. We built around... over off Johnson Road was another one. In fact, Johnson Road was just being paved when I built that particular development at the end of Johnson Road. It was not in Sugar Hill, but it was part of the area of Sugar Hill. And when you look at where Sugar Hill is today, and then you look at another development was over there off West Price, another one where our family went over and built and developed. That particular road was not paved as well. And that was Price Drive. And as you look around at that time, you know, as Sugar Hill has grown, it was just because of its location, and transportation has consistently improved. Great school systems in the area. Mainly school systems always drives growth. And then you look at out by the lake, and that was always part of the Sugar Hill and Beaufort area that it was driving the market up in this area. And but now you look at when 20 was five lane, to be honest with you. I mean, the traffic flowed very well, and then businesses started to develop. I think one of the biggest things has been is the center down there where Kroger is, which is very interesting in how all that's growing. And it's going to continue to grow all the way back up to Peachtree Industrial.
Okay. So, go ahead.
But as my business grew over a period of time, my kids came in, my two son-in-laws and my son, and And I, of course, kept developing in other areas as well, even when they were building and were learning the business. And, of course, they moved forward with the business. And so I kind of stepped back in 2006 and went on the DOT board.
Okay. And I'm going to jump around a little bit just so I can get this out of you. But not only did you teach the business to your son and son-in-laws, all of your family is in that business, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
All my grandchildren as well.
Okay. you also don't only build in Georgia, I think, correct?
There was a time in 2000 we built in Florida, Orlando area, primarily all around the Orlando, Florida area, and in McKinney, Texas.
Okay. So that must have been or felt pretty good to be able to branch out like that from where you started from.
Right. It was a big deal, and it took a lot of management, but we were real big in Georgia at that time, too. We were I forget how many. I don't know how many houses David told me one time they built in 2000 and 4, 5, and 6 a year, but we were in all the metro area and building. Plus, as I said, what we were doing out of state.
Okay. Let's bounce back to the DOT board. Tell me. I know you stepped away from building, but how did it become about that you got on the DOT board?
One day I was riding with, I forget who it was, asked me would I run for the DOT board. If they would help me, because you're elected by the legislature. It's a position that is by congressional districts. And at that time, Gwinnett County was the 7th congressional district. And I started going around introducing myself to all of the representatives, state senators, and told them that I was running for the DOT board. And I had some support from some local people as well. And so, in 2006 legislative session, I was elected to the board.
Okay. And you still do that today, correct?
That is correct. Okay. In fact, this year will be my last year. I've already given I will finish the term next April, and that will be it. I will not run for another term.
Okay. 2025. Okay, so talking about the DOT board, there must have been some pretty exciting things over the course of the 20 years that you were on the board. Is there anything that you want to tell us about or add to that?
Well, I think I made a difference in the experience I had in developing in business. And, of course, at the time when I went on, there was a limited number of funds, and DOT had not increased the gas tax in several years, and the amount of funds that were needed to upgrade the transportation system was not available at that time. And I saw all that and was very much aggressive in talking to legislatures and the importance. And I made, it was, I've been chairman of the board two different times, and as well as chairman of other committees on the DOT board. But I feel like I certainly have made a difference over the many years that I've been there, and especially in Gwinnett, and taking an aggressive attitude of trying to be sure that we got transportation funds. And Gwinnett always had a sales tax, and combining that with what the state would contribute made a huge difference in continually improving transportation in Gwinnett.
Okay. Okay. So, during your years of building and developing and your family building and developing, you developed a relationship with some of the more important people in Gwinnett County to help the growth in infrastructure. Is there anything that you want to add about that?
Well, I think all people of Gwinnett, in my thought process, were important. Everybody's important. And I've always enjoyed trying to help all kinds of different people, whatever their needs were. And, you know, as it related to transportation, I felt that that the infrastructure part helps all of the people of Gwinnett.
Okay. Well, to add to that, were there anything that you really, other than not transportation, DOT, but were there any other things that you pushed with our elected officials in Gwinnett County to make sure that infrastructure was in place too, whether it was schools, water, sewer, or whatever?
Oh, yes. I very much would do anything that I could be an asset. I was on the Gwinnett Airport Authority, and I was certainly involved in, trying to continue expand that part of Gwinnett. I remember back many years ago when the judge shut down Gwinnett County because of not enough sewer, and pushing to get those things done. It was very important in the growth of Gwinnett. And of course, Gwinnett has a wonderful water system. I was not too much involved in that part of it. And then the school system, I was definitely involved in wanting to see our school systems to continue to expand in the quality of education that you wanted to give your people of Gwinnett.
Right. Okay. All right. And let's see. So you mentioned the DOT board and the airport authority. Were there any other boards or commissions that you were involved with during your time?
Well, I was on the Lake Lanier Islands Authority for 8 years. It's an authority that manages the islands, and which was quite interesting. You take the road that goes to the Lake Lanier Islands today, and back that road was being considered way back 20 years ago, or 25 years ago. And now we have a nice road going into the islands now. But it was primarily the operation of the islands when I was on the board. I was on the Gwinnett Appeals Board. That's a board that deals with primarily construction issues that take place and trying to help them when a situation arises that you're trying to appeal an issue, and it's basically a variance in a way.
Okay.
Now, I was one of the first members of that board when it was formed way back in the early 70s. And then
okay. All right. Any other boards or commissions that you want to mention?
Well, I don't know any right now that I remember. But,
okay.
You know.
Mhm. Yeah. You certainly have quite a few generations of your family in the building business, it's been an important part of Gwinnett's growth. There's also a road named after you. You want to tell me about that?
Well, the legislature names all roads, and they did name the part of Highway 20 after me, which I'm very proud of. I mean, I worked hard on getting that particular project done. And, it's a reward, I guess, in one respect. But in the other respect, I'm not one who seeks, fame or anything, do things for that reason. I don't do things just for the sake of what does for me. I do things in trying to help my community or my state. That's my whole goal in life.
Right. Well, you should be very proud of it. That's something to be proud of. You should be proud of
it. It is. And another project I'm very proud of is 400. I'm still involved in Highway 400. It helps all these communities, Buford, Sugar Hill, and Cumming. I can get on 400 from here going to town now, easier to go up Highway 20 here out of Sugar Hill. And of course, I'm in Sugar Hill now, as you know. I live in Sugar Hill.
Okay.
And so I'm proud of the fact that what we accomplished when we did the third lane coming up, which I was very much involved in that, as well as the new lanes that are being proposed now that hopefully will come all the way to Cumming. For sure, they're coming to McFarland. And all the growth that you see in this part of the region, Sugar Hill, Buford, Forsyth County, and all points north are going to flow down 400 to Atlanta, downtown. And so the access points are going to be important in the timing, and we call it travel time. And so I'm excited about seeing all that come in reality. I won't be on the board when it's finished, but it's the reality of it is going to be the key.
Right. So as far as specifically to Sugar Hill itself, and the growth that you saw from the time that you moved your family here to today, is there any other places that you may want to mention or that you remember, that really had an impact on the area?
Well, I built Peachtree Corners definitely has an impact on the area of Gwinnett. And, of course, other subdivisions that I developed out around of Cedar Creek or some of those out off near Lilburn and those areas back in the day were very important in their growth. And, of course, when you look around the community, we built Swanee, lots of housing in Swanee over the years. in the downtown area of Suwannee. You know, that's another part of the community, but not exactly Sugar Hill. But we all, as an area, has thrived over the some of the things that have developed. For each, what you've done downtown in Sugar Hill, what Suwannee's done, or what Buford's done, all those things support all of this area.
Okay. Did you, after moving to Gwinnett County, did you have any specific knowledge about any of the gold mines in the area?
My son did. Come home one day telling me that he found a gold mine. I said, where? I said, we went up in those caves. I said, I don't believe it. And he showed me.
Okay.
It's right there adjoining where our property was back in that corner up in that area. Where Breedlove property was, back to where, up that creek. There was a lot of them up that creek.
Okay.
That was quite an experience for the kids around here to go explore the gold mine.
Right. Okay. What about any moonshining going on in the area?
I don't know anything much about moonshining here, but I can tell you as a kid, there was plenty where I went, where I lived.
Oh, in Dawsonville?
Yeah, there's plenty of moonshining. I don't remember much around in area when I moved in Sugar Hill.
Okay.
I'm sure there probably was in the past, but there certainly was plenty in North Georgia as a whole.
That's right. That's right. What about the drive-in movie theater? Did you ever go to it?
No, that was before my time. I saw the evidence of it when I moved here, but I never did go to the drive-in theater there.
Okay. So you don't remember the volunteer fire department for Sugar Hill or any of that?
Only through conversation I knew you had one, yes.
Okay. All right. You mentioned earlier being on the board for Lake Lanier. And I know you didn't move here until later on, but you did live in Dahlonega and Dawsonville. What kind of impacts did the building of the Buford Dam and Lake Lanier, how did that impact the area in those earlier years?
It was a huge thing. Nobody ever dreamed what the property values would be at that time. But my father, he also bought timber and went in the sawmill business when it was being built. And we did a lot of the timbering at Lake Lanier. Not all of it, but some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think back, the property values, you know, people never dreamed of what the impact of that would be.
Right.
Can you hold me just for about 2 minutes?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Hold on.
All right. Is there?
Well, if you remember, when Lake Lanier was built, and when it finished, I think I was 16, 17 years old. And as you know, the old road that came from Cumman over to Sugar Hill was dirt road for when I can remember when it was dirt, and then when they built the dam and that bridge there across the Chattahoochee into Sugar Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the 50. I think they built that bridge there in the late 50s there across the river.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now it's been redone to a five-lane bridge. Four lanes with the center section made to a six-lane bridge.
Okay.
But the dam, you know, for the area, did not show its potential for many years later.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is in property values.
Oh, okay.
And the value when you look at all the housing that's around the lake now. I had a lake house over there on Shadman Ferry Road back in the 80s, right before I moved up here, early 80s. And I built it there and on the lake. And that property values were just nominal at that time.
Okay. And you remember when they were filling the lake up, if you and your dad were doing timber on it?
Yep. In fact, we just had to, we weren't, I don't think, part of it, but I know the stories are that a lot of timber was just sawed down because the lake was filling up and they couldn't get to it fast enough.
Yeah.
They just pushed it down or whatever they could do to the shoreline.
Yeah, and that must have really been a sight to see, to watch them filling it up and just filling over things. They left structures and everything.
I remember the highway that I used to go from Dawsonville to Gainesville. There was the old highway I used to travel. And then, of course, they built the new highway of 53 that went across the lake with the two major bridges over the two rivers. It came down, the Chattahoochee and the other one. There was two rivers, I think, that flows into the lake.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else about the building of the dam and Lake Lanier that you want to add?
I can't remember too much about it because being a teenager, we didn't think much about it until it filled up. I remember the first time I went on the lake, as a kid.
Okay.
And, but other than that, I don't. Never thought too much about the lake. Yeah. I had family that had lake houses, and I'd go visit them occasionally, and was out in Forsyth County. But it was not something that intrigued me at that time. Okay. It was just a huge lake, never realizing how big it was.
Right. And how much of an impact it's had on our economy in the area.
Oh, yes. The economy and the production of producing on the electrical needs for the area and infrastructure. And it was quite an experience now as I look back, as a kid, not realizing the importance of it. But it was definitely an important part of the whole region.
Right. Yes, definitely. Okay, you mentioned earlier, remembering the Baptist Church. Is there any other churches in the area that you want to mention in the Sugar Hill area that you might want to mention?
I can't quite remember. That one was the one that stuck that I remembered that is being... was a more of an asset to the community was the First Baptist Church there at Sugar Hill.
Okay. do you have
any... I do remember, I will like to say this, when I look back, and Sugar Hill as a city and their infrastructure and what have you, the little house there that y'all had an office in, I remember that. You had there was a little house that you bought permits in.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you, I remember when you started as issuing permits back in the day.
Yeah.
And then you had the other little building there on the right below that started your infrastructure. And then... I don't quite remember what year the gas, Sugar Hill Gas started, when y'all started providing gas for the area. But I do know it must have been way back when. I don't remember when, but I do remember the importance of the infrastructure of gas, natural gas for the area, because there was no other natural gas available other than Sugar Hill.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you don't have any family members buried in the Sugar Hill Historic Cemetery, do you?
No, I do not. Okay. I don't have any members there other than my son-in-law has his father buried there.
Okay.
Mike's father's buried there, but I don't have any.
Okay. You mentioned earlier, after you graduated and went to college a couple years, then you went in the military. What you want to add anything about being in the military?
Well, I went into the military. I went into basic training, and I went further to other training. I was in a tank outfit, and of course, at that time, I could get out and go to the Army Reserves, not the National Guard, but I was in what they call the Army Reserves for 5.5 years.
Okay.
But military was made a difference in my life, because the military at that time, you learned a lot of things there that you would not have had the opportunity to learn otherwise. I mean, it was quite an experience to be in the military, and of course that was in 1958, which a lot of the people that I were trained with were World War II veterans and Korea veterans, and you got a lot of experience about wars and things that impacted our country as well as impacted me in listening to their stories.
Right, right. Well, we appreciate your service.
But it was fun, and I enjoyed it, and I wouldn't give anything in the world for not having that opportunity to serve that period of time and what I learned.
Okay. What would you say is the biggest thing that's changed in Sugar Hill over the years?
I would say that your consistent growth has been one of the big things. Consistency in how Sugar Hill is, in what it is becoming a city. I can't remember what the population was when I moved there, but I think now it's over 25,000. And I think that in itself makes the big statement. You know, I was very much involved in helping develop that intersection down there at 20 and Swanee Dam Road that was able to put that Kroger and that shopping center there, which I think is really huge for our community, as far as shopping and conveniences and that thing type of thing. And it was exciting to see that happen, as well as other growth. When you look at growth as a whole, you know, the downtown part now of Sugar Hill, it's got some nice restaurants and things you can go. I go up there a couple of, you know, different ones, and I enjoy that. You know, I think that Sugar Hill has made a statement now for the community when you look at the downtown area.
Okay.
Looking back, you know, when you saw what the community was at one point and what it is today.
Right. Any other words of wisdom that you would pass on to current and future generations?
Well, as all, I always try to, you want a community that is safe, that has the opportunity to enjoy the surroundings of what it presents. I think your parks and area will always make a statement to the future generations of the importance of trying to live together as what a community stands for, where people can come and enjoy life. I mean, you know, life is about enjoyment of and seeing what God has created. You know, when you look out wherever you go and you see the beauty of the land or the trees or the whatever, the surroundings, smelling the fresh air, just being able to live. And I remember when I moved to here, and you got on, you know, you had 65 acres of land, you just enjoyed you know, walking and seeing and enjoy the enjoyment of the surroundings. You know, a big house, a little house is not the most important thing to me. It's the important of the creating the value of the people, the value and the morals that we try to create as a community, and the education of our children, and giving them the opportunity for what the world offers for them. If you don't make it a better place to live, then we don't have much to look forward to.
That's right. Well, I appreciate your time today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or share about Sugar Hill?
Well, if I just continue, you know, with the same attitude of trying to create an environment of where you can enjoy in a lifestyle that meets the needs, a lifestyle that people will enjoy. I think you have to create a lifestyle for all facets of people. I think you have to have, you know, whatever level of lifestyle you're looking for, have it for both kinds. You know, some people can't, you know, coast to affordability of homes. You know, what can this group afford? What can this group afford, or whatever? I think it's for all types of people. You know, whatever their income levels presents, then they should have the affordability to live in a community.
That's right.
And I will say this, you know, I know that governments try to do what, you know, they try to do it at a level to where you want the best. I mean, you know, you want to try to make, you know, create regulations that creates the best. But regulations in today's world has gotten so expensive, you have to reevaluate sometimes regulations to where it is affordable. When you look at what it costs today to, for affordability of housing, and income levels have not caught up to it either. And, you know, hopefully it will one day. But right now, we're seeing a trend that you keep pushing the young people so further out, or you're pushing them in other types of living quarters, or where they can't have that little home or the single family home that they look for to raise their families on. I have that opportunity, mm-hmm. and I hope that we will create it for the next generations to come.
Right. I agree with that. Well, Rudy, you certainly made a huge impact on not only Sugar Hill, but Gwinnett County and the state as well. And we appreciate your family and you and everything that y'all have done for the community. And I'm glad you took the time today to do this interview with us.
And I'll leave you with one thought, Kim. Okay. I remember you when you got out of high school.
Okay.
And I want you to remember this. You have made an impact on Sugar Hill, whether you realize it or not. And the job that you've been there, how many years have you been there? 40? 35?
This year will be 34. I'll finish 33 years.
Years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. I remember the day you went to work.
Yep.
Almost. I mean, you just started.
Yep.
And you've made an impact too. It's people like yourself that make great impacts on communities. It's not so much people like me. We come to build and we do it for other reasons. But when you do what you do over the years, and when you look at what you have, then that's your generation, your kind of people make a huge impact as well, much more. Well, so remember that.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm going to turn the recorder off now.